This episode of Ask Theory was made possible by the British Council Philippines. For more information on the 2024 Women in STEM Scholarships, please visit www.britishcouncil.ph/study-uk/women-in-STEM. The Ask Theory podcast shines the spotlight on Pinoy scientists from various scientific disciplines. Listen to some of the country's best scientific minds as they explain what they do in simple terms and share fascinating stories of how they got into science, the incredible things they've learned about the world around us, and so much more. So, hi Tin. Welcome ulit sa Ask Theory Podcast. Magandang araw.
Magandang araw. And thank you for inviting me again.
Oo. Actually, for long-time listeners of the Ask Theory Podcast, you might actually sound familiar to them. Aside from the fact na malamang nakikita ka nila ngayon sa news for reasons that we'll get into in a short while, you've actually been a guest here on the Ask Theory Podcast before. And very interesting din yung topic natin before. It was about trans fats and more of the nutritionist, dietitian side of you. But as people who are familiar with you or people who have listened to that episode already know, ang talagang feed mo is something unique and interesting. It's called Space Nutrition. And now, I don't want to preempt, so I'll let you do a bit of the talking. Just very brief lang, pakilala ka ulit sa ating mga listeners. Sino ba si Tin Atienza at ano ba ang ginagawa niya?
Okay. So, hi again. Magandang araw sa inyong lahat. Ako si Christine Atienza. So, I'm a registered nutritionist dietitian dito sa Philippines. And bukod dun sa day job ko, which is I work mostly for nutrition for my day job. Pero meron akong kind of night job. Ayun yung space and astronomy. So, parang ayun yung naging mga passion projects ko. So, ayun yung shorter version ng day-to-day life ko, basically.
Oh, actually, when you hear the words space and nutrition, we don't really think about them together, no? Typically, they're two areas of science. Oh, alam natin yan, but vastly different. But when you combine them, parang peanut butter and chocolate ganyan. You come up with something new, a new combination. So what's it like? What's it like to work in such a field that utilizes your expertise in not just one but two areas of science?
Actually, thinking about it, space nutrition, hindi naman siya talaga dapat maging otherworldly, pun intended. Hindi naman siya dapat maging ganun kasi kung isipin mo, astronauts are human beings too, of course. So, human beings need nutrition, di ba? So, ayun basically yung space nutrition. So, yung hindi lang about sa like physiological aspects ng nutrition, pero yung cultural aspects din ng nutrition, like the food that they eat. Siyempre, di ba, parang you want, for longer missions mostly, or probably, kunyari sa Mars, you would need like a food, hindi lang for body, sa sustenance ng body, pero for yung parang may sense of pagiging human pa rin, like humanity and culture. So, ayun yung gusto ko talaga i-push for space nutrition. So, it's not just about, of course, it's important to sustain your body. Pero more than that, makakapture pa rin yung humanity natin for space exploration or during space exploration. So, for, I think for your question, so, dati actually, nung college ako, kasi I'm still, I was still doing astronomy habang nag-aaral ako ng nutrition. So, parang naisip ko dati, ano kaya yung pwedeng para mapagsama ko tong dalawa? So, it was space nutrition. Although before, hindi pa talaga ako exposed sa space. Mostly astronomy talaga yung ginagawa ko. So, hindi ko alam kung paano ko siya mako-combine. Like yung space, kasi hindi nga talaga ako like nerd talaga sa space. And hindi ako active sa space community before. But then, I think, hindi ko rin alam, parang it naturally progresses na naging exposed na rin ako sa space, naging active din ako sa space kahit wala akong masyadong alam sa space community. I was part of different organizations before, and then dun ko na-meet yung mga tao na like nutritionist din. nakilala ko sila as a nutritionist, pero gusto rin nila na parang interested din sila to do space nutrition. So kaya parang nagkaroon kami ng group which studies space nutrition. So combining the two, I think it's a bit of an advantage, pero medyo malaki yung disadvantage kasi for me it's really hard because we're kind of trailblazing the like kami talaga yung gumagawa ng opportunities for ourselves. Kasi although space nutrition is there, yung mga malalaking space agencies like NASA or ESA, they of course, they have like nutritionists, food scientists para sa mga astronauts nila or for sa space exploration missions nila. But it's not like available for us like nutrition students or just a regular nutritionist. It's not available to us. So parang ayun yung siguro yung pinaka-challenging, parang konti lang yung makukuha mong literature, makukuha mong study, or even mga experts on space nutrition, although medyo mahirap tawagin na experts kasi nga sobrang bagol ng space nutrition for us, even for us nutritionists. Pero ayun, I think combining the two, it also opens your mind. Like, it gets you more creative, like, kasi parang may pag sense of philosophy din siya kasi kayo yung unang gumagawa so ng research problem ganyan, so it's nice, like it parang nagkakaroon ka ng sort of like area na parang zero pa siya, so yeah.
Ang ganda, parang ka nag-generate ng knowledge niya for people who will follow, yung people who want to get into the same field. Alam mo, ang ganda nga, nasagot mo yung tatanong ko pa nga lang sana, how does one exactly become a space nutritionist? Because I don't think there's like a course for that, and I wouldn't actually even think na kung nutritionist ka, magkakaroon ka ng subject specifically about food, because it's such a niche specific thing. Na, you know, it's not even, yung tama ka na in that, you know, astronauts are humans too, nutrition, ganyan. Pero yung nutritional needs sila, it's not a universal thing na we'll all like encounter in our lifetimes. Eh. Parang mostly we're 99% of people will be grounded like forever. so to speak, di ba? So talagang fascinating, lalo na dito sa Philippines where I have to admit, no, based on my observations and what we've seen in recent years with the establishment of the space space agency, na parang yung enthusiasm natin for space is there, but it really leans more heavily towards astronomy and yung observational stuff, and not so much the space exploration aspects of space science, no?
Yeah, siguro probably because mahal yung space exploration. So, I think okay naman yung space agency natin because it's very new. It's a baby, basically. So, parang right now, we're concentrating on GIS, satellite data, satellites, producing satellites, which is, there's nothing wrong with that, like, pag tinatanong ako. But still, we can also do things then. I think PhilSci is also doing something with space exploration. Pero I think we can do more, like with this analog exercises or analog space missions exercise. So yeah.
Ayan, nabanggit mo yung salitang analog. Kasi one thing I really like about the recent discussions in recent years about space science dito sa Pilipinas is that natututo tayong public na pag sinabing space science, hindi lang siya pag-explore sa outer space. Maraming silbi ang space science. May dahilan kung bakit kailangan ng space agency ng Pilipinas. Whether it's in agriculture, food production, traffic, innovations in everyday technology, sobrang daming applications sa space science. Pero at the heart of it, pag iniisip mo yung space, ang naisip agad natin, yung very powerful image ng planets and astronauts.
Yeah.
And nabanggit mo yung word na analog. Pero pag pinagsama mo, since nasa topic tayo ng pagsasama ng words, pag pinagsama mo yung analog astronaut, ano ba yung ibig sabihin nun? What does it mean to be an analog astronaut?
Okay. So, analog astronauts or analog space missions, basically, ayun, nagsasimulate ka ng future space missions. Like, future space mission sa Mars or sa Moon or even sa ISS. Kasi why is it important? Kasi it's very expensive to send something sa space. Like 1 kilogram would cost thousands of USD. 1 kilogram of payload lang yun. So before ka magpadala, kailangan muna ng field test dito sa Earth. So anything, human beings, equipment, and of course, most importantly, yung crew members, which are the human beings, the important crew member, or import the most important equipment sa isang space mission. So, ayun yung tinatest niya, especially for, kasi ngayon, ano tayo eh, parang nasa age na tayo ngayon, ng new space age, they're planning to go back to the moon, they're planning to go to Mars, so that would take like longer mission. So, ayun. So, kailangan niyang i-test muna yung mga tao. Like, ipiprepare anong klase ng tao yung kailangan or yung pwede mong ipadala sa Mars na hindi, like, hindi, you know, ano ba, hindi mabobore or magpa-function pa rin after a long time of confinement. Like, for example, 4 months ka na sa loob ng isang capsule. Kaya mo ba yun? So, actually, yun yung tinitingnan nila ngayon. So, ayun yung use talaga ng analog missions. So, to test equipment and to test the human beings going there.
Yan, oo. Very, very good and concise explanation. If, you know, for listeners out there, unless you've been living in outer space for the past few months, I'm sure narinig nyo na or nabasa nyo na sa news. If you've been online pretty much, nakita nyo na si Christine as the first Filipina analog, Pinoy analog astronaut. And sobrang, ito, ano lang, based again on my observation, pag narinig natin yung words na Pinoy at astronaut na magkasama, sobrang big deal. I remember a few, I think like maybe more than a decade ago, there was this local, there was this perfume brand na wag na lang natin pangalanan, na nagpa-contest na yung marketing nila, sabihin na natin medyo misleading ng konti, na to the point na naging parang urban myth siya na meron tayong Pinoy astronaut.
Mm-hmm.
Yung nanalo sa contest na yon, again, hindi ko napapangalanan, na due to very complicated matters na hindi natin pag-usapan sa podcast ito, hindi natuloy yung kung ano man yung dapat mangyayari doon. Pero actually, if you guys want to know more about that, I talked to Dr. Romar Sese in greater detail about that. I think that was episode 3. Grabe, episode 3 of the Ask Theory podcast. And doon niya kinuwento actually yung nire-reference ko na story ngayon. But that's not the story we're gonna talk about today. We're going to talk about how Christine Atienza became the first Filipina analog astronaut. So ang unang tanong ko dyan siguro, well, paano? How exactly did you, I mean, was there a job listing? How did you get this job? And what did you do during that mission?
Okay, so actually, hindi ko talaga siya plan. Like, wala talaga akong planong maging astronaut ng kahit anong astronaut man yan, analog or going to outer space. Wala talaga kasi takot, like, I wasn't adventurous before. So I wasn't adventurous. Gusto ko mag-astronomer, yes. Like, studying the stars. Pero hanggang doon lang, ayokong lumabas. Ayokong masyadong, ayokong ng, ano ba, risks, ganyan. yeah, so, parang nagkataon lang talaga siya. So, di ba pinag-usapan natin yung space nutrition before. So, kaya dahil gusto kong mag-aral ng space nutrition, dahil may sinusulat akong paper on space nutrition, hanggang ngayon sinusulat ko pa rin. so, naging part ako ng mga analog missions before na, but as a researcher on space nutrition or as their nutritionist. So basically, as a space nutritionist for analog missions. So, doon ako nag-start. Naka-meet din ako yung mga ka-group ko, yung mga nutritionist din. So, nagkaroon kami ng isang informal group na nag-pitch ng studies for an analog mission. Ayun. So, dahil naging exposed din ako sa space community, I met analog astronauts din from the States, from Europe. So, I know na, meron palang ganito. Ah, pwede ka palang mag-propose ng study. Ah, pwede ka palang maging researcher. So, doon ko lang, doon siya nalaman. And then, So last year, dahil nga may sinusulat akong paper, sinusulat ko pa rin siya.
I'm sure maraming maraming scientists or researchers na nakaka-relate dun sa sinusulat ko pa rin siya.
Sinusulat ko pa rin siya. Yun. So, nakapag-decide ako na, what if mag-apply kaya ako na as a crew member. Kasi before, syempre pinapakain ko yung mga astronauts ng vegetarian food for two weeks, ganyan. So parang, ano kaya nararamdaman nila? Yung ganun, ayun yung gusto kong malaman. Like, how would you feel if ganun yung ipakain sa'yo na pre-packed food every day? So i-check ko na lang yung calorie nila kasi nandun na sa label. So parang ang gusto ko lang talaga maranasan is like, what does an analog astronaut feel inside, yung not just a researcher outside na kinukuha ko lang yung data from them, para if ever or para pag nag-tweak ako ng study ko, alam ko na kung paano ko siya i-tweak, or mas meron na akong mas makaka-empathize na ako sa mga analog crew. So yun, so I saw a call for application sa Lunaris in Poland. In interview nila ako, I pitched the study. I actually got in, pero hindi ako pwedeng mag-leave for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, ganyan. So medyo matagal siya. So nag-turn down ako, pero they asked me to be their to want to be their one of their researcher for space nutrition for their mission. One mission lang naman. And then so yun, parang medyo nag ano na ako na, nag like nag na, hindi ko na siya pinansin, like sige, baka hindi to for me, ganun. Tapos may nakita ko na call din for high seas. Tapos nakita ko, ha, meron silang short mission na 6 days. Meron silang 2 days, series of missions kasi siya. May 2 weeks, may 1 month, tapos may 6 days. Tapos nakita ko, ha, 6 days, baka pwede ako dito. Although, nung nag-apply ako, hindi talaga ako nag-expect. Kasi high seas yun eh. Like, if you've been under space nerd, you've probably heard of the one-year mission sa high seas. Funded by NASA. So it's kind of historical, not kinda, it's historical. Sobrang sikat siya na habitat sa mga, all of the habitats or space analog habitats in the whole world, I think pinakasikat or isa sa pinakasikat yung high seas kasi din sa location niya, which is very similar to Mars. May mga aspect, geological aspect na similar to Mars. So hindi ako umasa. Pero naka-receive ako ng email. So nakapasa ako dun sa first screening. And then binigyan nila ako ng test, psychological test, cognitive test, surveys. Tapos yun. Tapos medyo matagal na hindi ko sila narinig. Pero yun. So naka-receive ako ng email na tanggap daw ako.
Ang galing. Okay. Kwento mo naman kami ng konti tungkol dun sa crew, basically. Yung sino-sino ba kayo? Over, ano ba? Meron ba kayong, ano yung specialties? May mga overlap ba? Were there people who were specific? May commander ba? Like, kwento mo kami, ano ba yung itsura na naging crew?
Actually, most of the crew, kahit sa ibang analog missions, pare-pareho yung mga positions. Mostly, pare-pareho. So, of course, meron kang commander, merong vice commander, may medical officer, may communications officer, may chief engineer, chief scientist, actually madami. Pero yeah. Pero yung mission na yon sa high seas, it can house 6 crew members at a time. So kami, supposedly 6 kami, pero may isang nag-back out, last minute na nag-back out siya. Pero yun, so we had a commander. She's Belgian. She's a Belgian pilot and a space architect. And she's also the director of High Seas. So siya yung commander namin. And our vice commander is the head of advanced strategy for NASA JPL. So yung mga concepts, new concepts for NASA JPL, siya yung nag-head nun. And then our chief scientist and siya rin yung tumayo na chief communications officer namin. She's She's a student in she's a mechanical student, mechanical engineering student in Cornell University, and our chief engineer and medical officer, so naghati kami ng chief engineer sa medical responsibilities kasi nawala yung medical officer namin, yung Mexican na nag-back out. So yeah, our chief engineer is a professor of cybersecurity in Tulsa University, and ako, so ako yung nutritionist nila plus medical officer din, so pinaghatian namin yung responsibility sa yeah sa well-being or medical concerns ng crew members.
Meron lang akong tanong tungkol sa nabanggit mo kanina. I found that really interesting. Nabanggit mo kanina yung you were feeding vegetarian meals or preparing yung parang meal plan na vegetarian for astronauts. Bakit vegetarian?
Oh, for ano yun ah? For, actually sa amin din pala. For, kasi, it's really hard to yung sabi ko nga kanina na yung payload sobrang mahal, so most probably not most probably most likely na yung mga astronauts natin, lalo na yung mga pupunta ng Mars, mga long-term mission astronauts, dapat vegetarian sila, so kaya yung pinapakain ka sa kanila is vegetarian food. So chinecheck ko yung like psyche nila after pakainin sila ng vegetarian food, yung mga non-vegetarian talaga pero maging vegetarian for that long. So ayun yung chine-check ko dun for that study. Dahil nga ayun, so nakikita nila na kailangan maging vegetarian ka para maging astronaut ka, or magiging vegetarian ka pag naging astronaut ka.
So it's more cost efficient. Yun yung main reason.
Yes.
Ah,
And
wow.
They're also planning to, I mean they can plant plant na sa, I mean
ah, kasi oo.
Pwede ka rin mag-inamil, pwede ka rin mag-plant
terraform,
ngayon sa ISS. So
ah, yeah, oo nga,
sila,
yeah.
So meron ng nakakain na sila ng fresh salad sa ISS. So ayun pa lang yung pwede nating makain unless makagawa tayo ng meat na pwede padala sa space na ayun, na gagawin lang na hindi mo kailangan.
Synthetic or ano, yung substitute. Pero kung meat
yeah.
substitute siya, malamang gulay pa rin yung
oh, gulay
ano
pa
nun.
Rin
So,
yun. So,
okay.
Vegetarian ka pa rin nun.
Ang galing. Kasi ito yung mga bagay na hindi ko naisip. Kaya hindi ko pwede maging astronaut eh.
Hindi naman.
Siguro, hindi ko ma-imagine. I mean, I like vegetables. Pagtanda ko, natuto na akong kumain ng gulay. Now, I love vegetables, pero hindi ko ma-imagine yung vegetarian. So, ang galing. Ang galing. Aside from that, I mean, natutunan na ako sa'yo. Pero ikaw, ano ba ang natutunan mong kakaiba nung nandun ka sa mission mismo?
Kakaiba? Well, siguro, it wasn't surprising din naman yung mga natutunan ko. Mostly, actually, mga natutunan ko, medyo philosophical, actually, medyo parang, dahil nga isolated ka for a long time, actually, yung sa amin, hindi naman siya long time, kasi 6 days.
Six
Pero,
days.
Oo, that much of time na wala kang internet, basically, wala kang internet, wala kang, well, may TV kami, pero madami kang alone time, marami kang, so, parang, ayun, parang I think natutunan ko, I learned something new about myself, probably, like, medyo nakapag-internalize ako mga bagay-bagay. Siguro yung isa din sa mga natutunan ko, like, kasi pag naisip ko dati, space exploration, pag sinabi mong space exploration, parang very expansive eh, di ba? Like, ayun yung napapanood mo sa mga movies.
Movies, TV,
Movies, TVs na nagko-colonize sila ng planets, it's very open, pero hindi pala, space exploration confined ka pala talaga, like
actually kahit manood ka ng like for example lang, hindi ako regular yun, pero like mga Star Trek, a lot of the scenes take place on the ships, and bilang madaming drama dun sa ship, hindi natin as viewers hindi natin napapansin na wait, they're confined in that space for a long period of time.
Yun, so ayun yung probably na natutunan ko, na and it's very dangerous pala talaga kasi may mga activities kami doon na naka all suit kami, helmet na mabigat na, tapos meron kaming meron kami sa likod na tank for air, so mabigat lahat, pero kailangan mong pumunta sa lava tubes, mag-hike ka. So, isipin mo, pag mag-hike ka without all of those, mahirap na. Pero, pag meron kang, hindi mo naririnig yung steps mo, pag naglalakad ka, hindi mo maririnig kasi sobrang ingay ng air sa loob. Tapos, ayun, so wala kang mararamdaman na hangin. Tapos, hindi mo maririnig yung steps mo. May risk pala talaga, kahit actually analog astronaut ka lang, malaki na yung risk. Pero parang in that amount of time, siguro kung totoong exploration yun sa Mars, siguro medyo nanganganib talaga yung buhay ko. Yung gano'n.
Grabe. Alam, I'm still trying to wrap my head around yung the whole, ano, so maybe you can help me. Before, so yung, did you have to like adopt like a workout regimen before the mission? Like, did you have to train for X number of weeks nang mas nag-exercise or something yung buong crew nyo to adapt to those conditions? Like, what kind of preparation did you have to undergo before the mission, if any?
Dati nag-workout talaga before, like I signed up for a gym, but that's for the Poland mission. Hindi pa ako, nung hindi pa ako nag-turn down kasi
Uh-oh.
Yung Poland mission is athletics focused, so ayun talaga, rigorous talaga yung athletics noon. So ayun yung sinabi sa akin na rigorous yung athletics. So inisip ko, kaya ko ba to? Pero yan, nag-sign up ako for gym membership, ganyan, para lang makapag-prepare doon. Pero I turned that down. So for high seas naman, more on isolation siya. Like, ayun yung main study niya. Like, yung mga outside researcher. Kasi kami-kami, may mga kanya-kanya kaming study sa loob. Like, you're both, as an analog astronaut, kasi you're both the researcher and you're the subject then, you're the guinea pig then ng ibang researchers. So for high seas, hindi ako masyadong nag-exercise. Although nag-active, I mean, I see to it na maging active din ako kasi alam kong meron physical activity plus meron kaming 1 hour na exercise, required exercise during our mission sa loob. Ayun, so naging active lang ako basically for before the mission. I jogged, I hiked, ayun. Ayun lang yung preparation ko basically.
So not like yung ano, kasi alam ko syempre pag astronaut, alam ko talagang yung like legit as yung send you to space astronaut. Kailangan ng talagang matinding preparation. Pero yung for this analog mission, mas ang naging focus yun yung mental wellness, emotional, ano. I see.
For high seas, pero yung sa Poland, ayun yung
For different missions, talaga. Iba yung requirements. Kasi sa bagay, you can't really capture everything in one mission naman eh. It would also put, it would put the people at risk then if they're expected to do everything.
Oo. And ayun din, kaya marami ring habitat sa buong mundo actually. Kasi hindi mo masisimulate lahat sa isang habitat eh. So NASA would have a habitat din sa Antarctica para naman i-simulate yung condition, yung weather or yung temperature sa Mars. For high seas, it's the geological features talaga and like yung isolation part. Meron din silang HERA na nasa capsule lang sila for 4 months, ganyan. So, depende talaga sa habitat, sa analog mission.
So, sorry, one more question. You mentioned yung mas sa isolation yung focus nung mission nyo, right? Yung how you can sort of like live or survive yung that feeling of being cooped up in this limited space. So pati yung interactions mo ba with your crew, did you take note of how yung emotional shifts ganyan, well-being nung ano, was that also something you guys looked into your research when you were researching?
Yes, actually hindi naman yung research. So merong ibang NASA researcher
na nagparang nag-look
ng data sa amin. So every day talaga sobrang daming surveys. As in survey, ano oras ako natulog? Nakatulog ba ako agad? Meron ba akong conflict with another member? May conflict ba ako with the mission control? Ayun, so lahat ang dami. Like siguro in a day, siguro mga 5 surveys yung ginagawa namin.
Ganda
So,
yun.
i-check niya talaga kung and kumusta kung kumusta ba yung ano namin, yung team namin, kung okay pa ba.
Kung solid pa ba yung team. Kasi nga,
Solid pa ba?
ang hirap kung pupunta kayo Mars, tapos pagdating nyo ng Mars, nagsasakalan na kayo dahil yung ano man.
Ayan talaga yung tinitingnan nila.
Pero ang ganda niya kasi na-emphasize na when if you're planning to get into like space exploration, if you want to become an astronaut, you don't just focus on one thing, no? Ang daming aspects to consider for that kind of journey, for that kind of research pursuit na largely unknown, kasi obviously pag pumunta tayo Mars, hindi natin alam. We can make reasonable estimates based on what data we have, pero we don't exactly know 100% for sure
Yeah.
ano yung mangyayari pag pumunta ka doon. So yan talaga yung value ng mga ganitong analog missions, no?
Yeah, oh, true. Tapos ma-surprise ka na lang na ah. may mga ganung moments talaga eh, na hindi kasama sa research pero may biglang mangyayari. Ganyan.
Ganito pala. So pag
Oo,
so when you know, when you go to an actual mission, you can expect na baka may mga ganito pa lang, mga unforeseen things.
Oo. So more than syempre kumukuha sila ng quantitative data like yung hair samples, yung biochemical data namin for that long duration of time, pero may part din doon na reflective kasi kailangan magsulat sa journal, ganyan. So yeah, so iba-iba aspects, so hindi lang siya talaga quantitative things yung i-research nila for analog mission, every aspect of humanity, parang ganoon.
Interesting sa akin kanina nabanggit mo na you didn't actually set out to become an analog astronaut when you were first, you know, getting on the path of space nutrition. Like parang sabi mo nga, I would say medyo risk averse ka. Ayaw mo ng risky stuff. Hindi ka ganong, as you said earlier, hindi ka ganong ka adventurous or mas risk taker. But has this experience sort of like changed your perception? Like what's next for you? Do you see yourself like someday becoming the first Pinay astronaut?
So dati yung ano ko na nung mga college, yun yung medyo hindi ako adventurous, pero after college yung parang dumami na yung mga activities na ginagawa ko. So mas naging active ako at nagda-dive ganyan. So I think ngayon mas adventurous na ako as compared to like a decade ago or 2 decades ago ganyan. So ayun, ano yung question, yung next question, do I see myself
or trying, you know, kasi alam ko very strict din ng application ng astronaut, but do you see yourself like, hey, that's something I could do in the future? Like meron ka bang ganung thoughts?
Actually, dati wala talaga. Like, pag tinatanong ako, parang sa mga maging astronaut, sabi ko, hindi, wala. Ayoko, ayoko. Pero ngayon, parang, I guess, parang dahil sa nangyari na naging analog astronaut ako, parang, sige, why not? Pero, like, considering all the things na kailangan mo na mangyari, like, I need to be a citizen of this country. Kasi, of course, ayun yung kinukuha nila, yung citizen. Although ngayon, lumalawak na yung mundo ng space, may new space na tayo, like, private companies na yung for front runners sa space. So, may mga private astronauts na. So, pwede, but medyo malaking imposible pa siya ngayon. Like, medyo malaki pa yung kailangan na pagdaan, na not just the qualifications or not just the studies na ginawa mo, pero yung sige, sabihin na natin it's societal aspect kasi bago pa lang yung space agency natin, we can't deny that eh, na medyo huli tayo dun sa advantages.
We're trying to catch up, but we have a long
we're
way to
trying
go
to catch up. Yeah, so let's see, like hindi na siya imposible ngayon dahil may mga private companies na nga. So let's see kung makapunta. But I think it's not becoming the first or an astronaut is not the most important thing. Like for me, the most important thing siguro na nabalik ko probably is the awareness na we can do this stuff and we can also participate in space activities na globally, like internationally. So yeah, so I hope may mga Filipinos na if gusto na lang maging astronaut, the first astronaut, they would pursue that dream kasi hindi na siya imposible ngayon. Hindi na lang tayo audience niya ngayon, but we can really participate in these exercises, these activities.
Oo, oh, totoo yan. Balikan natin yung kanina na nabanggit mo. Di ba, before the mission, nag-hike ka, nag-exercise ka, and then nabanggit mo rin in passing kanina, nagda-dive ka. I know you also have that hobby. But what are some of the hobbies that you have? And siguro yung talagang curious ako dun is, do you find your, because space nutrition is basically your work. You could say it's a big part of your life. Does that passion for space and nutrition or even just or space nutrition, does that sort of like seep into yung activities mo outside of work? Like, do you have hobbies that are related to those interests or those fields?
So, marami hong hobbies.
Okay.
Or marami hong activities actually. So yun nga, isa yung diving, mermaiding. Pero siguro I can't say astronomy is my hobby because it's been a passion since I can remember. So yeah, so may mga passion projects ako sa astronomy. So I also do outreach, astronomy outreach, mga free telescope viewings with Manila Street Astronomers, with Philippine Astronomical Society, pero hindi ako member ng PAS. So, masama ako doon sa kanila as much as I can, if kaya ng schedule. And also, I do outreach din sa inclusive outreach for the Philippine School for the Blind. So, I'm trying to create materials for them, mga tactile materials for blind students,
yeah,
for astronomy. So yun yung isa kong ginagawa pa. Ano pa ba? Part din ako ng IAU or the International Astronomical Union for inclusive outreach din. So yung technical knowledge and mga policies and mga best practices dun ko nakukuha, and then ginagawa ko dito sa Pilipinas. So, mostly sa for Philippine School for the Blind. Although, naka-experience din ako with deaf and mute. But, yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting pursuits, no? Interesting passions. And, nabanggit mo nga na, you know, you do these yung outreach programs. In some way, I feel like these activities, you can describe them as parang you're leveling the field for people, for everyone to be able to appreciate science, and not just mga scientists or not just mga experts or not even just yung mga hardcore enthusiasts, but anyone, any member of the general public who wants to look up at the stars and appreciate the beauty of the night sky, may mga ganyang activities, the inclusive, yun nga, na pwede silang sumali. But in terms of like leveling the playing field, and especially since by the time this episode comes out, it's International Women's Day, and March is of course Women's Month. From your experience, no, what can the government and the public, tayo, what can we do to further level the playing field and support women in STEAM, not just STEM for me, but also, you know, art, kasi art and yung intersection ng art and sciences, so STEAM. Ano ba ang pwede nating magawa para ma-uplift, masuportahan ang kababaihan sa siyensya?
I think just putting role models out there, parang it can do a lot na eh. Like may kakilala ko, may friend ako na kaya siya naging physicist ngayon or magiging physicist ngayon, pag-graduate na siya, is because nakita niya si Dr. Reyna and si Hillary. So nakita niya na, oh, kaya niya pala yun gawin. So ngayon, ano na siya, like running for Magna na physics sa UP Diliman. So parang, I think siya yung pinaka best testimony na just putting role models out there, parang uplifting Filipinas or women, Pinoy women in STEM or STEAM. Malaking bagay na yun eh. So, yun. So ngayon na masaya, or it's really nice that we have this platform every March or every Feb 11 to March 8, which is the celebration of IAU for International Women in Astronomy. So, buti na lang may mga gantong platform kasi ayun, napapakita natin na we have women who do these things in not just in space but in other fields of science. So yeah, I think ayun, I think kailangan lang siguro ng support ng from the government, either resources, like grants, etc. Yeah. It will go a long way for more women or more girls to pursue STEAM fields.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And yun nga, there sa I think in the past 10 years, in the 10 years that I've been doing SciComm, napansin ko rin na nag-increase na yung opportunities din. There are many, like for example, if kung ang balakid sa education for STEM or STEAM ay pera, for example, there are many scholarship opportunities. Some are here sa Philippines, some are sponsored by the government, some are for studying abroad, pero napakarami, just look for it. And tama ka rin na having women to look up to and say na nagawa nila yan, kaya ko rin siguro, kaya ko rin gawin. I think malaking bagay ngayon. So I want to ask you, for every young girl out there who's listening to this podcast right now, especially yung interesado sa science or nandun yung spark ng science, di pa nila alam kung yung gusto nilang gawin sa buhay, pero naisip nila, baka pwede akong maging scientist. What do you say to them?
Go for it. Like, I wasn't confident enough before, like to pursue my applied physics degree because I was an applied physics student before. Because I thought na it's not for me. It's male dominated. It's very hard for me to get a career. Pero right now I'm still doing science. Like in my own terms, or I mean in my own capacity, because it's not my day job, but I can still do science. So go for it. Like if you like science, if you don't know what to specialize in, wag kayong mag-alala. Like just explore. Actually, it's better to explore a lot, because if you have lots of experience, you can integrate those and make something out of it, and it can make you more creative. So think outside of the box. Like, and of course, if you're for young girls na parang they don't want to like have a job in science, but they're very interested in science, you can do science. You can still do science pa rin. Like now we have like mga citizen science or like citizen science projects. Data are very open, very wide. So just be curious. Science is for everyone. So no matter what you're doing in life, if you want to do arts, you can also combine science in there. So yeah, just pursue what you love, just pursue your interest, and you'll get there.
All right. So thank you so much for sharing your time with us today. Sobrang dami kong natutunan, lalong-lalo na yung hindi ako pwede maging astronaut dahil hindi ko talaga ma-imagine na vegetarian meals na kakainin ko. But kidding aside, I learned a lot. Thank you for sharing yung experiences mo being an analog astronaut and generally your perspectives on space exploration, on science, on being inclusive. I hope you'll be open to be on the podcast again at some point to talk about all of the other things and
sure.
science-related pursuits na ginagawa mo. So, sobrang thank you. Thanks to you and to many other women out there who are serving as inspirations for the next generation of women scientists. So, ayun, maraming salamat.
Thank you. Thank you ulit for inviting me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Ask Theory. Stay curious.